Hi, you've reached Kevin McAlpin with the Atlanta Braves Radio Network. Sorry I missed your telephone call, but please leave your name, number, and a message, and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. Thanks, and have a great day.
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hi, Kevin McAlpin. This is Josh Brown with the Nakahoma Nation Radio Network, calling to see if you would like to be on our replacement level podcast. We are going to be putting out podcasts just to put out podcasts. Not sure if you heard. Anyways, just wanted to know if you wanted to waste about 20 minutes of your life with me on the phone and give the people what they need during this time of quarantine. Love you. God bless.
Replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Nakahoma Nation podcast show. Oh, you're listening to that Nakahoma Nation podcast show.
In 3, 2, 1, and we're live. I just did the Joe Rogan thing, Kevin. Kevin, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing great. How about you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. I'm here in quarantine from the mountains, you know, and missing baseball, missing sports, missing culture, missing Mexican food, missing bars, other humans, just, you know, life. What have you been up to, man?
Nothing. No, I'm doing not. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not doing nothing. I mean, I'm mostly doing nothing. I'm chasing around a nearly 5-year-old around the house, trying to keep some semblance of schooling going, which, let me just throw this out there. I'll tell you this, and I have a neighbor 2 doors down who is a kindergarten teacher. Teachers, you don't get paid enough for what you do. And I say that as someone who's only trying to teach one kid, and he's my own, and I can discipline him however I see fit. I don't have to deal with a room full of these people. It's crazy. I mean, it really is. You know, schools here are done for the year like we all expected. So now I have a pre-K student who's, I guess, technically now a kindergartner, which is mind-boggling in and of itself. But trying to, you know, teach some math, some, you know, sounding out. I have no idea what I'm doing. But fortunately, I think Max has learned a couple of things. Our favorite class is PE. We spend most of the day outside playing baseball, riding our bikes, things like that. But it's, you know what, we're doing this fun little show from 7 to 9 here in Atlanta on 680 The Fan. I'm having a blast with it. Myself, Ben Ingram, and Jonathan Chadwick. We're doing Guys Night Out, which is funny because none of us are out. We're all in. We're all in, we're all in by ourselves in 3 different places. But we're having a lot of fun with it. We've had some great guests on. We had Chipper on last night. We've had Dale Murphy, Tom Glavine.
I've heard of those guys. Yeah.
Yeah. We've had some pretty heavy hitters on the show. So it's been a lot of fun. But yeah, it's just so weird. Like, I feel kind of like the players where, you know, they're creatures of habit. They're used to waking up, going to the yard, you know, having the game that night, and you know, every you know, 4 or 5 days routine. We're traveling again. Like it's weird. It really is a strange feeling. I miss it. I miss the people. I miss the players. I miss the feeling of walking in the ballpark.
Sure,
but
you,
you know what, at the end of the day, man, I'm also enjoying some bonus time with the family, because this has been very unexpected, but we're making the most of it for sure.
Yeah, that's how I feel. It's like, you know, the weekends are more precious now because you're kind of forced. But at the same time, I don't like being told what to do. So there's this weird feeling of like, this is awesome. We're spending time together. We're on our back deck. We're, you know, we can't really go anywhere. That's cool. But also it's not cool because they're telling me I can't go there. and so I want to go there, you know.
Yeah, it is weird. Like I've gone on more walks through my neighborhood. We have about 300 houses in our neighborhood, and
do
I joke.
Shamed?
With,
is there people like? Are there? You know what I mean? Like, are there? Okay.
No, not really. I just, you know, there's nothing else to do, so it's like just go for a walk, right? But the weird thing is that, like, I know everyone's sort of handling the social distancing thing differently, right? Like, there's some people that are very serious about it, very strict about it. And then there's others like me that, yeah, I'm taking it seriously, but I'm a very social guy. I like to stop and talk to people. And it's like, how close do you get to somebody? Can you stop and say hi to their kids? Can my kids say hi to their kid? Like, it's just weird. Right. Like, and I said, we talked about this on the show. The one thing I can't wait when this is all behind us, I'm going to hug everybody I see. Like, I'm going to hug everybody. Like, I just can't wait. I'm going to, I know. You know, it's just, it is a strange feeling. Like, I went over 2 weeks. I didn't even leave my neighborhood. I didn't drive my car. I didn't go anywhere.
Oh, yeah. It's so weird. I can't do that.
It's odd. And you know, when I
did leave, and it's,
the 2 times I left was to go buy more beer. That's the times I left.
I've been drinking a lot of Rolling Rock because it's on sale. I know it's not, yeah. I know it's not like the, it's not the best beer. We have breweries. I went to breweries before they were cool, Kevin. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like I was a beer snob before a beer snob was a beer snob. But as I've gotten older, you know, I just want a good bargain and Rolling Rock is okay. It's good. It's better than Miller Lite or Bud Light, I think.
I'm not mad at you for that. You know, I mean, that's my grandfather was Rolling Rock till the day he left this earth. And I can respect the Rolling Rock aspect. Now, I'll say this. My beer, it's starting to feel like summertime around here in the South. I love Corona beer.
Nothing wrong with that. With a lime? You put a lime in there?
It depends. Sometimes if I feel like cutting them up, I will. Sometimes I'm just like, nah, the heck with it. I'm just gonna have a beer. Yeah. But it's funny because I'm in this group conversation. There's like, I don't know, 5 or 6 couples in our neighborhood that are all on this big, the name of it, my buddy Jeff named it, Apocalypse is the group text name here on the text chain. And, you know, it'd be like, hey, I'm going to the grocery store. Anybody need anything? Or, hey, I'm going here. Does anybody, you know, we're kind of all looking out for each other. Well, last weekend I said, man, I'm out of Corona. Can you go get me a case and I'll Venmo you money. He pulls up outside of my house to deliver the beer and I grab it out of the trunk of his car. And he said, you won't believe this. The cashier at the local grocery store scolded me for buying Corona because she was talking about the virus. She's like, thousands of people have died. He's like, it has nothing to do with the beer. It's not the beer's fault. And he said, literally, she started wagging her finger at me that I was buying Corona beer.
No way.
Corona needs our support. I thought these were
just memes on Facebook. That's hilarious. By the way,
Corona needs our support.
So I just texted you, Kevin. That was supposed to be to my wife. So I actually just recorded like an hour podcast with my wife for like our patrons before our call. And I just texted you thinking it was her. And I said, thanks, love you. And so that was, sorry, that was supposed to be to Nikki. So just disregard that.
Don't feel bad because it's I've done that before. Hey, listen, we've all sent a text to the wrong person. I'm going to leave one story out that I'm completely humiliated by, but I'll tell you the one that's less humiliating. Every time we go to take off when we're traveling, my wife likes to know, hey, let me know when you take off. Let me know when you land. And sometimes she'll track the flight on the little app. You can see where the plane is. Well, the one time I went and I said, taking off in a minute. Love you, mama. Right. Well, when I hit send, I sent it to one of the PR guys and Mark Bowman, who I was on a group text chain with. And every time something happens, like I'll be like, all right, I'm out of here. I'll see you later. All right, love you, mama. So I still get it. So don't feel so bad. We've all done it. Let's not feel so bad. And I love you too, to be honest.
It's fantastic. I love you too. Yeah. That's what I've learned about this whole social distancing thing too, is it's different where it depends on kind of where you are. And so today I learned that I'm like my situation, okay, very different than New York City. Mm-hmm. And I got shamed by my friend Michael Kelly, who I think you know from Twitter. So we're buddies. And so from my perspective, I'm sitting here, I'm in Boone, North Carolina, like I'm in the mountains, right? So from my perspective, politics aside, it's like we have like, I don't know, 16 cases and we shut down the whole economy. And I'm like, oh, that sucks, you know? Well, Michael, I mean, he's in New York City I saw it just today, like 700 people or something died, you know what I mean? And so I forget these things. And Michael reminded me, hey, man, just so you know, you should come visit me. and I had this kind of snarky tweet and I deleted my tweet and then we were texting back and forth. And so it's funny because like the country, you know, America's like huge, and it's very different in different parts of the country, you know. So my heart goes out to people in New York City, but I think handling it the same way across the board, I don't know if I agree with that. I, you know, not to get political, but it's just I have friends that own restaurants and stuff around here. I just, my heart goes out to them because it's just, it just sucks. It's such a weird time. I can't wait for the summer when we can all get back to normal, you know, and go hang out, you know?
Yeah, it is. It is a weird feeling because, you know, and I joked with my wife, Melissa, a few weeks ago when we came home 3 weeks early from spring training. And I'm like, hey, we get all these weekends together now. And she goes, yeah, to do nothing. And I'm like, well, that's a good point, but I'll also enjoy just the family time and hanging out and being around. You know, I do think that this is something that ultimately when this is all behind us, I think it's going to bring people closer together. I mean, you know, I do feel like relationships are going to be tighter. And it is neat to see the sense of community people are feeling. I mean, you know, here at 680 The Fan, we've got a couple really, really cool initiatives that we're doing to help out local restaurants and small businesses that are hurting right now, man. And I've seen some pretty cool ideas out there. The one that I've heard people are doing is buying gift cards to local restaurants where, you know, hey, look, you get a gift card now. It helps keep the restaurant, you know, help them pay their bills now. And then when you go out to dinner in a few months, it's going to feel like you're going out for free because you've already, you know, paid it off and you're not even thinking about it. So I think that's a really cool idea. And then I saw some places in New York before it got really bad. We're almost issuing like bonds to people, and you know, you give them $75 and they give you $100 back to come back. Wow. So, you know, it helps them in the long, you know, it helps them in the short term just to sort of, you know, keep the lights on and then pay the bills and pay the rent. But it also helps the customers out down the road. So, you know, it is interesting to see the way people are coming together. And like I said, we've got family and friends in our neighborhood that are, hey, I'm going on a run to the grocery store. Who needs what? You know, I'll leave it at your front door and don't even worry about, like, money. We'll
figure
beer. It
out. Give me more beer.
I need a couple of cases of Corona. And a matter of fact, let me give my wife a plug because I gave her a shout out on the air tonight. Saturday afternoon, I was out in the driveway drinking beer. It was 80 degrees. It was sunny. Max is riding his bike and I got my lawn chair out and I'm just sitting there sunning myself, getting some color. And I'm like, well, I'm going to go bring my cooler out and I'm just going to have some beers. Well, one of my buddies from down the block, he brought his chair and it was far down the driveway, but he set up shop.
Beautiful.
And then a couple other guys came by and they set up shop too. And again, we had a very, very good distance between all of us. But my buddy, the mayor, we call him the mayor in the neighborhood. Well, he doesn't just come down for one, right? He came down and he sat down and he's like, I'm not going anywhere. So I look in the cooler. I'm like, oh my God, I only have two beers left. What am I going to do? So local liquor store down the road, you can order online and drive up and they'll just load it in your car for you. So I'm like, all right, I'm ordering two cases of beer. And my lovely bride, who is pregnant, says to me, well, you know what? You've had a few beers. I'll go pick it up for you. I mean, come on.
She's pregnant?
While she's pregnant, she comes back 5 minutes later. Two cases of beer in the back of the car. I threw it on ice, and we sat out there until
10 o'clock
at night. I mean, it was 10 hours of just 12-ounce curls, man. I mean, it was all day long.
I went through a Corona binge about 4 years ago. I was at a brewery in Birmingham. I was at Good People Brewery in Birmingham. It was like 90,000 degrees outside. It was hot and humid. It was just gross. And all they served, and I love Good People. If anybody is, we got some Beeham listeners, love Good People. Great beer. Problem is, it's 98 degrees. You know, it's August or July or whatever it was. I don't want a stouty beer, right? I want something refreshing. I got all triggered and I left and I got like this big case of Corona because I was like, that to me, in my head in the moment, that was like the anti stout beer. I need a summer beer, and that was at the time Corona. And I went on like this 3 month Corona binge, and it was great. Corona's good stuff.
No, I mean, look, it's very light, it's refreshing, it's a good summertime drink. And you know, I think that the one thing that I have done more of, I think I have drank more beer in the last 4 weeks since I got home from Northport than I have in probably the last 4 years. I mean, it is crazy.
Isn't it crazy? Last time we talked to you, like, you were in Northport, you're in baseball mode, it's spring training, we're all excited about baseball, and now here we are, and it's only, like, it's April 7th right now, man, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, the whole world has changed in just, like, a month and a half. It's so weird.
It is weird. You know, Ben and I have talked about this, that, you know, March 12th, 2020 will probably be a day that we don't forget anytime soon. It was the Braves were taking on the Tigers in Lakeland. And that was the day that everything shut down. We found out about it in the, fourth or fifth inning that, spring training was essentially over. But how quickly everything changed. I mean, that was a Thursday afternoon. I drove back to Northport and we had a conference call the next morning with Alex Anthopoulos. And it was, okay, what are the next steps? This is 11 o'clock in the morning on a Friday. And it was, hey, you know, a couple of guys worked out today. We're going to close the facility Saturday, Sunday. Deep cleaning will be going on. We're going to reconvene on Monday morning and see where things are. Well, that was 11 a.m. on Friday. I went to the beach with a couple of the guys we work with. We're on the beach in Venice. It's a beautiful day. We're hanging out. We're having some cold beer. And by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I had gotten word that it sounded like spring training was going to be shutting down and everyone's leaving. And by 5 o'clock, I was packing my car and I was planning to go home Saturday morning. I mean, it happened so fast.
Everything happened fast. I remember the day, like the day they were, I saw like a tweet or an article. They're thinking about like maybe canceling the NCAA tournament or something, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's crazy. And then the next day they did it. And I was like, what? It's just so fast. And then baseball and then NBA, maybe NBA was before baseball.
Yeah,
but
it was. And it's funny because I was sitting in our living room with Ben and we're sitting there watching it. And it's just like, hey, these games are, you know, NBA is talking about ending it. And then you had the West Coast games were about to start and there's arenas full of people. And they're saying, sorry, guys, we're on hiatus. You have to go home now and please leave the arena in an orderly fashion. I mean, I forget who it was. Was it the Jazz or and maybe the Spurs? I forget who the two teams were, but they were about to come on the court, you know, for the pregame warmups and to start a game. And then they're telling people, go home. This is over. It was your head was spinning with how fast it happened.
Yeah. And there was that scene where Mark Cuban is, he got like the notification on his phone. He looks at it. He flips out. Cause it had just, that was before we kind of knew anything about this, you know? And so, I mean, the idea of canceling a sports season or postponing it, just nuts.
Yeah, it is. And look, obviously sports is not nearly the priority in any of this, because obviously there's a lot more important things. But I'll tell you this much, man, when it does come back, and we've talked about this on the air, boy, that first national anthem, that American flag in center field, that flyover, I get goosebumps just thinking about what that's going to feel like. And hopefully it's here in the next couple of months.
I know. Do you think that so going into this season, the Astros, right, they had like this nasty target on their backs. I mean, they were about to get booed by like every fan base in baseball. You know what I mean? So, do you think like when this happens, it'll almost be? I think it'll be less severe for those guys. You know,
I don't know about that. I'll say this: we played the Astros just once in spring training. I think we were supposed to play them a second time over at their place, but obviously that didn't happen. But when they came to Northport, there was a fan who had bought the tickets that were right down front row, right next to their dugout, and he was wearing a mini metal trash can on his head, and he kept banging on it every time those guys came up to bat. And he's yelling out the pitches. I mean,
was that JT? It wasn't JT, was it?
No, I don't think so. I wouldn't put it past him, but I don't think that was him. My vantage point of him was not great. But no, I don't think this is going to be something that just goes away. I think there's a lot of fan bases who rightfully so are pretty ticked off. I mean, if I'm a Dodger fan, if I'm a Yankee fan, to say the least, I am furious about this. Yeah. So, I don't think this is going to go away anytime soon. If anything, this may make fans a little bit more unhappy because, you know, the story came out the other day. If there is no season, if it's canceled, the punishments will have been served. The punishments, they're going to count whether there's a season or not, which to me makes absolutely no sense. Because technically you didn't miss anything, right? I mean, if there's no season, I don't know what you're being really penalized
about. Right.
No, exactly. So, hey, look, that's probably another conversation for another day. But No, I don't think fans are going to forget. And I'll tell you this much. We heard what a guy like Nick Markakis said. We've heard what other players have said about it. Believe me when I tell you, players have really good memories.
And it was different. It was different than like PEDs, right? Like a clean guy, like a John Smoltz or a Chipper, right? They'll be salty and they'll throw shade at the players who did PEDs or were suspected, right? The difference with this is, if you're doing PEDs, you know, that's just, you're taking a chance. You don't really know. There's not the chances of it directly affecting you or helping you. It's a little bit gray. You don't know. But this is like, you're, once you implement technology into this, different level, different kind of cheating altogether. It was bad. I don't know. Anyways, I feel bad for Astros fans. Cause like if this happened to the Braves, like I know so many Braves fans. I mean, it would just suck for your fandom, I guess. Or you just own it and you're like, you know what? Screw you guys. We want it. Whatever.
Yeah. Well, and I think there is a portion of the fan base that feels that way. You know what? Hey, what? Guess what? If we cheated, if they did what they did, guess what? That parade was a lot of fun. And those rings, they still count. You know, those parties at the bars were a lot of fun. So, yeah, I think I actually know a couple of folks in Houston that are like, you know what? Hey, guess what?
Whatever.
We had the parade. Whatever. Yeah. We still have the championship.
I would probably be like that. I don't know.
And you can take it away, right? Like you can take it away from me. You can strip them of the title. But guess what? They still want it. They still have the party. They still want the celebration. You know?
They still have the memories. Mm-hmm. Did you see that one guy that broke? I don't know how this guy did it, but how much time does this guy have? He broke down like like every play or every call for the whole season and by player and how many bangs per play. Like it was this exhaustive analytical report this random goober did. And I'm like, oh my God, guys, I mean, let's throw some shade at it. Let's shame them for a year. But this is, I mean, get laid, man, or get a life or something. This is too much. Oh my God.
Yeah. That seemed a little extensive, maybe a little bit much for me, but I'll tell you what, props to that guy. He must've had a lot of free time.
Impressive.
On
it was impressive.
It was. Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to baseball being back. At first, I was like, you know what? Because you know me, I'm a little salty now as I've had this podcast. And Twitter has just ruined me, Kevin, with all the analytics. And I just get pissed off. But not only the analytics, though. Like, two things have made me salty. The analytics, getting shamed for liking players like Nick Markakis, as you know. But also, like, just the political correctness of it. Here's the one thing that pissed me off the most of all the rule changes, and you're gonna laugh because this is so silly and petty, and it shouldn't really make me mad. But when they banned rookie hazing, I was like, I'm done. That's it. that's it. I'm out. Like we've lost the plot. We've taken the fun out of our grand old game, you know. And but I miss it now. I miss it now. At first, I was like, I was throwing shade a little bit. I was like, oh, it's too bad I can't watch, you know, a starter go four innings, you know, and then like 18 bullpen pieces in a 4-hour game. And now I'm like, okay, I actually miss it. You got me, uncle.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, to your point about the rookie initiation, the rookie hazing, whatever you want to call it. I get to travel with the team. So in years past, I would get to see what they would do. And I remember it was probably 2012 or 2013 where they had the rookies dress up like in Speedos, and they had these goggles, and they had these just ridiculous swim outfits on. Well, we were going to D.C., and we're walking in the lobby of a very nice hotel in the Washington, D.C. area, and there is a restaurant in the lobby of said hotel. Well, there was a large contingent of probably 60, 70, and 75 to 80-year-olds were all enjoying their dinner, and here comes this busload of people wearing Speedos and goggles and snorkeling outfits and little, you know, swimmies around them and all that. And the look of just sheer horror on these elderly people's face when we walked in the building. Now, it's funny because what they would do, especially like in places like New York City and others, what the buses would do, there's two buses typically when we travel. Sometimes in September, there's a third when they have the September call-ups and they need more room. But it's typically two bus loads of on the traveling party. First bus is the coaches, the manager, the front office, the broadcasters, the support staff. Bus number two is all players. Well, what they would do with bus number two in a lot of these cities was stop 5-6 blocks away from the hotel and make all these guys walk. And, you know, picture being in Manhattan, you know, right in Midtown Manhattan, and there's this group of people and nobody knows who they are, right? Nobody knows they're athletes, they're ball players, they're whatever it is.
Yeah. You wouldn't know. I mean, I saw a picture of Julio Teheran during this initiation, and you would not know that guy's a ball player because he's just like slim, just a slim guy, like bird legs. You know what I mean? Like,
right, right.
That guy walking around Manhattan, I'm like, who is this crazy person?
Probably a lot of folks thought it was like, you know, hazing for a college fraternity. You know, it was Rush, doing the rushing or whatever. But that was one of the more entertaining things. Now, what they've done now is almost make it like a, hey, we're all going to do the same thing. We're going to have a contest. So it's not as much of a quote unquote hazing. It's a voluntary basis. But I think it's a voluntary basis on a encouraged situation, if you know what I mean. So
yeah,
but that was so much fun to see those guys just walk into the lobby and just, I mean, you had to just laugh. But I'll say this.
That's
on
fantastic.
The plane. Think about this. Okay, you're on an airplane. Now, most people don't travel on a plane in Speedos and no shirt, right? And swim attire.
Right.
You know how cold it can get on airplanes at times. These guys were freezing. They're like throwing layers of blankets on them because they're cold and they're in the charter. So that was always a fun time. And you know what? For the most part, those guys they handled it well. Matter of fact, in Chicago, a lot of times they would make the rookies in full uniform go over across the street. There's a Starbucks right across the street from Wrigley Field, and they would make the rookies all go in full uniform and. Wrigleyville, I don't know if
they
you've been there
they did that last year.
Yeah, I have
been there. Yeah.
So Wrigleyville, you know how Wrigleyville is before a day game, and there's a ton of people all over the place.
Oh,
well, I remember a year where Johnny Gomes had a megaphone, and he's standing on the ramps of Wrigley Field, and he's out yelling, the Atlanta Braves rookies, they want to buy you coffee. They'll be happy to sign as many autographs as you want. They'll take selfies with you. Please go up there and spend as much time. And so I walked into the Starbucks and I'm videotaping it, and it was just hilarious. I mean, it's, you know what, as the great Jack Elliott said in Mr. Baseball, baseball is Johnny a game Gomes. And games are supposed to be fun. And these guys definitely have a lot of fun. And that's one of the things I'm missing. You know, we're just talking about it, like all the things you miss about like the camaraderie of being around guys, the busting chops. I mean, it's just stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's just, that's why this is such a fun business to be in. And, you know, right now we're all missing it. We're all just missing, you know, seeing everybody every day. So those are just, you know, you think about the games, everything is, you know, that's all fun, but it's stuff like that, that is very unique. And you definitely miss out on that kind of stuff.
Like no matter how good or bad the team is record wise, it's going to be fun. It can be more fun if the team is, you know, 10 games in first place perhaps. Even though obviously you're a reporter, you're not a fan, but you end up kind of, kind of wanting these guys to do well in their careers and stuff like that. But even if they suck, it's still a great time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, and that's the thing for us. I mean, you're right. You have to be unbiased, right? Like you have to call it like you see it. Like, and that's upset guys. And at times I've had, you know, a couple of guys pull me aside and ask me why I said this or that about them. And, you know, when I explain it, they're okay with it. They get it. They understand we have a job to do. Obviously, I want to see these guys succeed. It makes all of our lives a lot easier when they're playing well and they're successful. But I think when you travel with the guys, when you're around them every single day, I mean, you obviously want them to play well. You want them to succeed. It's a whole lot more fun. And remember this, I came here in 2012. The Braves were the wild card team in 2012. 2013, they win the division. And then, you know, we had to watch the second half of 14
the bullpen.
And 15 and 16 and, you know, 17, you started seeing things, you know, you started seeing that light at the end of the tunnel. And then of course the last couple of years have been just a ton of fun to be around. I mean, you know, 2018 was probably the most fun I've had covering this team because it did come out of nowhere. I mean, I had no expectations of them winning the division and then 2019 for them to win 97 games.
All experts.
It turned so fast, you know? You're right. Obviously I want them to succeed, you know, it makes all of our lives a lot more fun.
The only experts that predicting them to win in 2018 was Nakahoma Nation. You know, we predicted them to go to the World Series. They let us down. But we can't be right all the time. You know what I mean?
No. No, you gotta admit when you're wrong every now and then. I don't like to.
Yeah, which is rare. Which is rare. Yeah, very rare for me, Kevin.
Yeah, unfortunately not for me. I think I'm wrong a lot more than I'm right. But those few times I've been right, I have too. Man. Yeah.
So, it's the people that.
Quick funny story. I mean, interrupt you, but here's how wrong fine. I was. This was back in 2017. I said,
I want
to
hear your worst takes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
you want to hear a great one? This is a great one.
Yes. I've got some. 2017.
I said, I'm going to go a little nuts on my World Series prediction this year. And Ben says, well, how nuts are you going to go? And I said, I got the Giants and the Tigers in the World Series. Go to 2018. Wow. Go to the draft. They were 1 and 2 in the draft, respectively. I could not have been more wrong if I had tried. I was so far off. I had literally the two worst teams in the game, and they had the first and second pick in the draft the next year.
That's fantastic. I'm more off on like individual players. And like in 2016, I lived in Rome and I covered the Rome Braves. And so like I kind of for about 3 years of my life, I like tried to be a baseball writer and I couldn't ever get. I wasn't, it was a combination of things. I wasn't like all that good. And also like, I just couldn't make a living doing it, you know?
Yeah.
And so I got really into the prospects and I just thought I would, this is back before I became broken and I used to take baseball like semi-seriously. And so it's 2016. I'm covering the Rome Braves. And I just think that I, you know, I'm a baseball expert, Kevin, and I am writing these things about Ray Patrick Ditter like he is the next Ricky Henderson, my friend. I'm not even talking about Ronald Acuna. And I remember being in like the booth one day before a game, and Kevin Carroll, the voice of the Rome Braves, was just waxing philosophic about Ronald Acuna Jr. And I'm like, who is that?
You
know, no one's talking about him. He's like, dude, no one's talking about him. But watch the scouts when he comes up to bat. And like I did, and they would just like drop what they're doing, and they're like obsessed with this. At the time, he still isn't a physical specimen. He's just like some dude, you know. He's only like 6 foot ish, and he like, anyways. And then I wrote things about David Hale, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I thought he was gonna be like the next Greg Maddux, and then of course, as you may know, I really thought Matt Whistler was gonna be a legend, and boy was I wrong. And I called him Cy Whistler, and I still do that as a joke. But yeah, I'm more wrong on like individual players, if you will. So yeah.
Were you the one that baseball was saying that Acuna had too, his swing was too long? Was that you?
No. How dare you? No, I didn't. No, I never said that. That was that Twitter, the pain guy, like the Chris O'Leary guy. He was like this.
Okay.
He got some shit for that for like a month because he's this self-proclaimed like baseball instructor guy, and we had him on the podcast and we got a lot of crap for it because no one likes this guy, but that's why we had him on the podcast because we wanted to kind of disagree with him.
Sure.
He turns out to be a psycho, but yeah, that was him. He was talking about how his swing was objectively long, and we're like, what are you talking about, man? Yeah.
Hey, we've all had those hot takes, right? We've all had a couple that have backfired on us over the years. And, you know what? It happens to the best of us.
And I'll admit now, as I've gotten a little older, and I kind of, that's why we call ourselves a replacement level podcast. We embrace that we're just a bunch of dinguses and we're not baseball GMs. And I'm a walking contradiction. One week, I'm going to tell you that, like, Austin Riley is a stud, and then I might backtrack. It just depends on the week with me, you know?
Right. Well, here's what I'll tell you about that. Don't ever put it in writing, because if you don't put it in writing, then people can't find it.
It never happens.
See, if I say it on the radio, people just say, well, I don't even remember him saying that or not saying that. So as long as you don't have documentation, don't leave the paper trail. That's where people go wrong. You leave the paper trail. They can find it. They can call you out on it. If I say something on the postgame show that's completely stupid, and believe me, I'm sure I have over the years, you know what? I don't know. People have heard it and they move on. They forget about it. They can't go back and trace it. Make me look like an idiot.
That's true.
You know?
Well, as we leave our listeners, I was going to ask you, what's some, you know, as everybody's kind of in this weird, so right now, almost everybody is at some level, you know, like socially distancing or, mm-hmm. you know, they're either on the far end quarantining or at the very least, they're like, they can't really go anywhere and do much. What's some advice? Whether it's some TV shows or some movies or some music or some podcasts, whatever. What do you got for the people?
Well, the Knock at Home Nation podcast. I mean, of course, first obviously. And foremost. Obviously. Duh. I mean, that is a number one. I'll say this. I got into Tiger King. I watched all seven okay. episodes. I sat down and watched it. And then so yeah. I told my wife, Melissa, about it. And she's like, this sounds so stupid. I'm not going to watch it. But now all of her girlfriends on her group text chat are talking about it. So she goes, all right, I got to watch it. I got to see what this is all about. So I'm watching it now for the second time through. I'm watching it with her. And it's funny because there's stuff that like I'm kind of catching now that I may not have caught the first time around.
Really?
Yeah, it's just weird little stuff where I'm like, oh, I get it. Or I get that. Or this guy did that. Or why does that producer always smoking cigarettes? There's 4,000 cigarettes in front of him. Rick, I love yeah. that guy. He's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, he's the kind of guy I would 100% want to go have a beer with and just hear stories. Yeah. So, you know, I'll say this. I have the attention span of, like, a dragonfly. Like, I can't watch shows. I need it to be sports where it's, like, mindless or, like, Seinfeld, where it's in 30 minutes at a time and I know every
about
episode.
Nothing, just meaningless. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. I just need stupid stuff like that. But I'll say this. I'm getting into Wild Wild Country. I've heard that one on Netflix is pretty wild. It's about some sort of religion that moved into this small town in Oregon. I really don't know. I've only seen about 10 minutes of it.
I remember seeing previews of this.
So Ben and Jay Chad have both told me you have to do it. It's like 6 episodes. It's about an hour long each. My problem was I sat down to start watching it one night and it was like 10:45 and I'm an old man now and I have a child and he wakes up at 6:30 in the morning. So like I'm starting to doze off and I'm like, I don't know about this, but I think I just turned it on at the wrong time. Like I think I have to sit down and watch it like at 2 p.m. and just, you know, when I'm when I have a clear head. So I've heard Wild Wild Country. I've heard Ozark. Those are a couple that are on my list to come. But
Ozark's,
you know what, I'll tell
banger.
You this. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I've heard. My buddies from back in Philly are big Ozark guys. And they were, matter of fact, were texting me about it tonight. So I guess I'm going to have to get into that to see what that's all about. But I'll tell you this much, man. I'm listening to more music, and I'm listening to all kinds of music. Well, because I'm going outside, and like me and Max are playing catch in the driveway. We're playing basketball, or he's riding his bike, or I'm sitting outside drinking beer all day on a Saturday.
You got like the Bluetooth speaker going on?
You know what? I don't have one, but I have one of the big Alexas, like the big one, not the little tiny ones, but the big one. So I bring that outside, man, and like I'm listening to music. Funny story about that. So one of my favorite rock stations in this country, in the world, is back in Philly. It's WMMR. They've been in Philly for over 50 years. It's the heritage rock station. But they do a really good job. They play stuff from the 70s and 80s and then all the new stuff now too. So it's a really good mix, and they put all kinds of stuff in there. So I'm listening to it this weekend, and my buddy Ray Koob, who's been a Philly rock radio DJ for forever, he was on there this weekend. So I texted him, hey, Koob, in the driveway, me and Max are playing. You know, hope you're doing well. So Max, who I talk about all the time, whether it's on radio or TV, he's been on MLB Network, for God's sake. I'm talking about him right now. He thought it was the coolest thing ever that Ray Koob was talking about Max down in Atlanta, and he's going to be a big brother, and he's listening. He's shooting That's baskets awesome. While his dad's working on the 12-ounce curls in the driveway and this and that. I'm like, Max, you're on the radio all the time. Like, we talk about you every day. But he thought that was the coolest thing ever that this guy on Alexa is talking about him. So, but I'm just listening to all kinds of stuff, man, and it's just, you know, I'm spending a lot of time just kind of sitting in the driveway and hanging out and talking to people when they go on their walks, which they've done a lot of in our neighborhood. So it's kind of seeing people from a safe distance that way. But man, I'm just kind of hanging out, playing a lot of wiffle ball, playing a lot of driveway basketball.
I love it.
A lot of walks through the neighborhood. I said this, I'm doing a lot of yard work too. I'm going for that yard of the month sign again. I'm hoping I'll win that again here in the next few months, but man, I pulled so many weeds today, and I sprayed the weeds, and I've been cutting the grass, and just like, just find power washing the deck. I've done it two or three times already. It's like, just finding stuff to do, man. It's weird because I'm used to having no free time for 7.5 months. And now I'm like, I have nothing but free time.
Typically, you know? I mean, your profession, you're gone. You're on the road for half the dang year. So,
and even when we're home, we're not really home because I'll see Melissa and Max when they wake up to go to school and work, and then I'll come home and they're sleeping. So it's like, you know, even when we're home, I don't really see my family. But it is it's really, really strange to go from, you know, having no free time to all free time. I will tell you this: the one thing I did last weekend that was so liberating. I left my phone on the charger almost all day Saturday and Sunday. I didn't even take it outside.
Oh, man. Like, that's hard to do, but when you do it, it's amazing. Oh. It's really hard. At least for me, it's really hard to do. But when you do it, it's, oh, my God.
Like, don't check Twitter. Yeah. Don't check. And it's funny because, like, Ben was texting me this random stuff about whatever, or sending me links on Twitter. And I'm like, dude, I'm so sorry. I'm not ignoring you. I just left my phone inside. It's, like, such a liberating feeling. You just kind of get away from everything for a little while, you know, and you know, the days feel a little longer, time goes a little slower, and the beer was ice cold, so you know, I was in a good place.
You don't seem like a guy that, like, you're like one of the happiest people I know. You don't seem like a guy that, like, gets, for me, I'm really guilty about watching the dadgum news, and I get pissed off, and I get really in it, right? I get so far in it that I get mad at, like, other people, which is so dumb. Like, people that I know, right? I get mad at my friends ideologically because of the news. And you seem like a guy, you're kind of you don't seem like a guy that watches the news as much.
It's funny you say that, because I do have the news on my TV on mute right now. But that was more to see what the stock market did today, because I made the mistake a few days ago of checking my 401k. Okay. I should not have checked my 401k. Because it's been a rough few weeks, but no, you know what? Like, I always try to find positives in everything, you know. And while it's tough times, and you know, I've told Melissa this too. I mean, there's, you know, we feel like, you know, you're having tough times, you're going through a rough patch, but man, there's always somebody. I always tell myself, and this is the mindset I've always had. Man, there's always somebody out there that's got it way, way worse, and I try to remind myself that. On a regular basis, that it could be a whole lot worse. So, I guess that's just how I've always been, man. I've always just been Pete positive, I guess, you know? Yeah.
You are. I love it. Well, Kevin, it's always a pleasure to hang out with you, man.
I love you, man.
Love you too,
buddy. I'm going to tweet the...
Hey, I can't wait.
I'm going to tweet the screenshot of that text you sent me.
So I am joined in quarantine with my lovely wife, coming at you live from the west side of Boone, North Carolina. There's East Boone and there's West Boone. So I'm trying to create a thing called West Boone because they're trying to claim East Boone as a thing, which I think's hilarious because East Boone is like 3 miles from actual Boone. So coming at you live from West Boone, I've got my wife on with me. What's up?
Hey, do you think it's cute that we used to live in West Rome and now we live in West Boone? And then, like, even then, East Boone or East Rome was, like, the bougie part of town. And now East Boone is the bougie part of town. Do you think that's funny?
I didn't think about that. Yeah, any small town that tries to claim these geographical superiorities over the other makes me laugh. It's not like... like Toronto, like I've been to Toronto like 5 times, right? There's like East Toronto and West Toronto. Nashville, right. There's East Nashville. That makes sense because Nashville's big. East Nashville is very different than, you know, Smyrna or like Franklin, right? It's East Nashville's like hipster. Well, East Boone is literally like 3 miles from Boone, and. What, like a month ago we were at Boonshine with Clint. Our buddy Clint was in town visiting, and so we're there hanging out in at Boonshine, which is maybe 3 miles east of actual Boone, right? And there's this giant, huge mural inside this brewery that says, "Welcome to East Boone." And it's got a picture of like the mountains. And on their menu, there was like East Boone Pilsner. And if you go to their Instagram, it's like hashtag East Boone. I just think it's funny.
I'm not going to lie. I think you're a little salty about things that don't matter. Like, you know.
Babe, I've been salty about things that don't matter forever, since I was born.
Home run.
That is...
Yeah, variety.
Yeah, that's like... That's like my life, is being salty about things that don't matter. That's all I do. What are you salty about right now? Talk to me.
Oh, geez. What am I salty about? Well, I'm salty about the fact that when, you know, on the weekends, you know, because I'm working right now.
Right.
And so, you know, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, I go to work. I have some social interaction with the people of Mountain City, Tennessee.
Good people over there.
And then I come home. Mm-hmm. Good people. And then I come home. And then on the weekends, I get to spend those solitary quarantine hours with you. And what makes me salty right now is the way you ruin songs on the radio. Just randomly.
Like, what do you mean?
A song will come on the radio, and instead of, like, singing along with the song like a normal person does, like, "Country roads take me home," you go, "Country roads!" And you're loud and obnoxious. You get all squeaky about it, but you do it the whole song. It's not like you just do it once and then laugh about it. We laugh about it. You say, "Oh, my God, that was so funny." Yeah. And then we move on. No, you do it literally the whole song, and then if you know the next song, or even if you only know some of the words of the next song, you sing
the terrible
it
thing
the
is
same
I know
way.
Like most of the songs. That's what makes it even worse.
Right. Well, because we always listen to, you know, your radio station, your country music radio station,
right,
for high country radio, and so you know these songs, mm-hmm, and so there's just no respite
like
from you. So yeah. I'm salty about the fact that I am spending hours and hours and hours of time with just...
with the most obnoxious you? Person so. Ever.
Yeah.
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 And then last night, so.
But, yeah.
Last night, you think you're getting like a break. You know, you think, you know, we're having like a nice evening, and you know, I'm feeding the baby, and you're making some salmon patties, which we'll talk about that later. And I got the radio on in the kitchen, and then the Taylor Swift song about Tim McGraw comes on, and then I'm like shitting on the whole song.
Now, hold on. Now, pause. Do I think it's a shitty song? Yes. But also, do I remember that song from when I was a girl or young high school romantic sort of person?
Man,
yes. Did
I'm
I
old.
Think that song was like, you are super old. So when that song came out, I was, because I'm Taylor Swift and I are the same. You know that, right?
I didn't know you guys were both 18. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so we're the same age. And so when that song came out.
So you guys are both 30?
I was also, right.
Okay.
I was also 16.
Oh.
And also had just recently been in a relationship with this boy for a very short time. I didn't keep relationships very long.
Yeah.
But our song was Tim McGraw and Faith Hill.
Yeah. I love that song.
You know,
I love that song.
And which one?
Our song is Tim McGraw or whatever. Like, I love the old Taylor Swift songs.
No, but that's not, I'm not saying the Taylor Swift song was not our song. An actual Tim McGraw song was our song.
Oh, okay.
And so when I heard her song, I was like, oh my gosh, yes. When I think Tim McGraw, oh my gosh. So,
and then
as a 30-year-old, right. But I, you know, I've grown a lot since 15 years ago, and so, you know, I don't think back on that song and think, "Wow, what a great song."
Yeah.
But regardless, there was just no need for you to get all Josh Brown on it. You
I
know?
Can't help it. I can't help it, babe. I can't help it. I gotta.
But you can't. Hold on. We need to dive in.
No, I can't.
Because I have given
I need to poo-poo on the things
yes,
that need to be poo-pooed on.
I have given you pass after pass after pass. And you know what? Maybe this is our come to Jesus that we need. Two different rooms of the house. Maybe this is the only way we can have this conversation, Josh Brown. You know what? No. It's time for you to stop the pooing on people.
No, it's not.
Just in general.
Hey, Nakama Nation, are you enjoying this talk with me and my wife? Well, if you want to hear the rest of this talk, head over to patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. You can hear the rest of this delicious talk where she airs all my laundry, and you can have access to other really cool stuff like patron exclusive content like patron only podcasts and swag like Nakahoma Nation stickers and t-shirts. That's patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. You can support our little old podcast, keep us afloat during these trying times. And it's only like $5 a month. There's different levels, but that's the lowest. $5 a month. That's, I don't even know how to do math. That comes out to like a little bit a day. patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. Have a great day. Peace.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement level podcast. Nakahoma Nation is brought to you by Nakahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. For new episodes and content, visit nakahomanation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NakahomaNTN. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Options Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.